Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Jeff Joniak is the voice of the Chicago Bears. The pregame begins at 4 on Sunday.
Get
News
excited.
Radio
just listening.
780, 105.9 on the FM side. Don't step on top of that important broadcast call. Let everyone know where Jeff
will be. He's
got
me fired up. He's got me jumping.
No, this is old hat to Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Just another year, just another glorious game.
Good morning.
What's your big storyline, Jeff? We talked about it earlier. What's the storyline of this game?
Storyline? Let's put the big boy pants on and see if we can knock out what I think, you know, and I think everybody agrees, is the team to beat in the division. They're the defending champs, and they're a very balanced team in every way possible. Had one hiccup this year against the Buffalo Bills, but that's a good football team they're going to face. And this is an important football game. It'll say something. I'm not going to say it's going to say a lot. It's going to say something more about the Bears as we continue to learn what they are, who they are, what they're all about.
They're the same kind of team, Jeff. I mean, you look at it, and not to say that they're mirror images, but they're very similar. And their strengths are, you know, the defense fronts and their ability to rush the passer. They have some skill in the secondary. Offensively, you know, the Bears receiving core as a whole, it may not be as explosive as the Vikings, but you look at the similarities, and there's a lot to like if you're a Bears fan. Where do you think is the biggest difference between these two teams?
Wow, the biggest difference, maybe just a little bit more experience defensively, that they played together for a little bit longer, and so they are just a tick more serious and more difficult to deal with. I mean, the one number that sticks out to me, and the Bears are right there. I mean, the Bears are right there neck and neck with them in virtually every category. Both teams are suffocating defensively, and it was brought to my attention by Mark Helfrich on the coach's show on Monday night, just how serious they are on third down. I mean, they don't give up anything. They're 22% conversion rate on road games. Defenses travel well, as do running games, and they do travel well with that. The last six games, I believe, 12 total third down conversions allowed.
Wow.
I mean, that's some pretty serious business right there. So Helfrich cracked me up yesterday when he said, you know, it's a thing you got to be careful watching if you want to make sure that you don't get too scared about the Minnesota Vikings third down defense. But that, and then, I think the Bears offensive line is better than their offensive line. So, I mean, that's an advantage. You know, the offensive line has given up, I think, a league worst quarterback hurries, knockdowns, and sacks when you put them all together. They're getting better, but, you know, they have blown a gasket there a little bit.
I think that's a huge issue too, Jeff. We talked about it earlier. You know, the Bears are still overcoming the loss of Kyle Long and all that, but they're significantly better than the Vikings are not good at all on the offensive line. And the Bears, obviously, it's strength on weakness. I mean, their defensive front is fantastic, and they're playing a subpar offensive line, to be brutally honest.
Right, and you know, every one of those guys has given up some sacks and some penalties, so it's been a bit of a jittery bunch. Now, obviously, it hasn't been great for them, starting with the death of their offensive line coach. You know, that was a big blow to any organization right before the start of the season, so that's a tough one to overcome. They've had a lot of injuries, too. You know, the Bears, you know, maybe their greatest strength right now is – a couple of things. One is their just overall enthusiasm. They are a team that is not cocky, but they have confidence. They play with an edge. They also have this exuberance about them that comes from their head coach on down, and they're healthy, except for Kyle Long. Deion Sims hasn't had a great year, so he's working through concussion protocol, but that's it. They're healthy. And I think we call it the great equalizer in sports. If you're healthy and it's already getting close now, you're midway through November, man, knock on wood, you stay that way, you're going to outlast a bunch of teams that way just by that alone.
This segment with Jeff Joniak is brought to you by Bet Chicago. For betting and fantasy football coverage, download the app today and bet for free. Okay, Jeff, it's been a very bizarre week when you talk about the coverage of Cody Parkey and his practice habits and all the attention paid, you know, the kicker who hit four uprights on Sunday. In terms of the attention, how would you put that into context of things that you've seen, and how much could it affect Parkey's psyche?
I mean, I a guy can look you in the eye, and I did. I took him aside, I think it was on Wednesday, and just to get a read on him. You know, a couple things that stick out. One, you know, you go into the locker room, and he's surrounded, right? That's expected. But over the course of the season, he may have a reporter or two there. There's not a lot of attention to him. But he's a very confident person. So, you know, that's the outward, you know, image that he portrays and whatnot. What you have to in your kicker, I don't see a guy like wide-eyed and scared to death. These misses that happened in that game, as everybody has weighed in on it, it's almost an impossible venture to hit the upright four times consecutively in a game. So just a hair off, and, you know, it is. There's a lot of attention on it. I don't know how to gauge that because we don't know him that well. But you have to just trust what you hear about him from his teammates and his coaches. And I think this is a resilient individual, and he is still a young man at 26 years of age. This is kind of a head spinner when you think about it. But in the context of the league, I just quickly did some math before I got on here. I don't know if it's 100% accurate, but it's enough of an information. 116 missed kicks this year.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Is that out of the norm? I feel it is.
Yes.
In 10 weeks of the season, there's 116 kicks missed.
Vikings have already been through.
I don't know why that is.
Yeah. You know, Jeff, it's interesting because Matt Nagy is a, you know, he's just a charming fella and a great guy to listen to and really fun to watch as he handles all this stuff. But he had enough of the Parkey stuff yesterday. It was interesting to see him kind of get, you know, not short tempered, not overly, but just he'd had enough. And
right.
That,
yeah.
I don't know if that's, you know, we talk about helicopter parenting. This is a, you know, where there's too much attention given to the kid. Let the kid make his own decision. Now we got the helicopters out there.
Right. I can't say I'm surprised, but it, to me, it's like, really? Are we doing that? I mean, I don't know. And I think the humor's lost, and there's no question about it.
Embrace it, though. Embrace it, yeah. Because it means the Bears matter again. People care so much that they're going to fly over Soldier Field.
It's the price
awesome.
Of relevance.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I can't disagree with you on that either, but it just, you know, the point of it is I think they're just trying to protect their own a little bit. Don't you think that's essentially we got our teammates back?
I
don't know.
Talk about the confidence of the kicker, Jeff. I mean, the last thing you want to do is lose the guy, and maybe all the attention is he's not used to that. Maybe that becomes – you don't want it in his head. You want him going out there, you know, believing he's going to make the kick, and everybody else can chew their fingernails. So – maybe that's what it's about.
Yeah, I do believe he'll be fine. He will. This is a kid, you know, the guy has had great success in pockets of his career already. He's only been in the league, you know, 5 years. Yeah, you know, he had a great season with the Eagles in his rookie season. He's been bouncing around like kickers do, and I like him. I think he's a good kid, and I can't imagine that. Well, I can't say that because an episode like that on Sunday, you know, that could get in anybody's head after a while. I mean, Mason Crosby missed another one last night. He bounced back, but he's a veteran. So we'll see. It'll be an interesting watch. It's a tough environment to come back to now in national primetime in a big game at home against the Vikings.
So the Bears are driving and they get to the 35-yard line, Jeff, and it's fourth and three. And Matt Nagy has a decision to make, and he decides to go forward and decides to kick. What's Tom going to say? And how much, you know, that's a real situation. And it's not that hard to imagine the first time there's fourth and short or fourth and less than four, and they're in field goal range. You know, that's a real dilemma. And you wonder, forget Cody Parkey's head. How much is this going to be in Matt Nagy's head?
I think it'll be evaluated like any other game. And Matt, as we have come to learn, is an aggressive head football coach for the most part. And I think he's gonna have him kick what he feels is necessary to get the job done and go about his business like he normally would, unless he blows another flat in the game. And then you got to recalibrate. That's my guess from
right.
the way he coaches.
And it's
aggressive.
The guy's got a contract that keeps him around, and we all know that. But you hate when those decisions are made. So he better not blow another flat in this game. He better make sure that he gets his job done because, again, he's getting the cabbage to do it.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt about that. And, you need your kicker at this point in the season. You need it any time, but it's crunch time now. And no matter how it wants to be framed, I mean, these games, and Matt did say this week, these games carry on a lot more weight right now. And the better you get, the better deeper you get, the schedule shrinks, and, you're trying to make your way. You've got the division right now. You're still in command, and you got to now take hold of it. You can't have any phase of your team go south on you at any point at this point.
Jeff, we'll let you go just quickly on the way out. Helfrich, you talk about, chatting with him on the show and everything.
Yeah.
What is his influence? What is his job? We know the head coach is the play caller. We know that they got 800 plays. We know that that they run the Kansas City stuff. But pace of play, what is his biggest influence, and how close is he working with Trubisky?
Oh, they all work together.
It's a
group think here. There's no doubt about it. He's got great influence because he is the offensive coordinator, and he helps Matt in many different ways. The quarterback aspect of it is a team thing with Ragone and Helfrich. So there's a lot of voices there, but they're all on the same page, and that's the important part. If they weren't, then it would be a disaster. But it was the general mission by general manager Ryan Pace to get as many assets around that quarterback as possible. And I love the texture of it and the contrast from a college coach and a high-powered offense that knew how to score a lot of points to Matt Nagy's system and Dave Ragone's understanding of Mitch Trubisky after working with him for a year. I think it's a great situation, and I hope it doesn't change at
Thanks.
Any point.
Do you think it will?
Not
I mean, you
at,
think
not,
this
not
guy
at any point.
Could this guy
saying,
be a head coaching candidate? I mean, at some point, if the Bears continue,
or a college program.
Everybody wants a Sean McVay. I'm just saying.
College programs, too. I mean, they may be looking for a head coach.
You can't discount anything. There's names that come up every year, but right now, I for me personally, the best way to grow this offense and ultimately to grow this team is hopefully to get everybody together and stay together for a period of time. It's illogical to think anybody is going to try and keep everybody together, because of circumstances over a long period of time. But the best thing for a quarterback, as we all know, is continuity over time.
Yep.
Can't
no question.
This up and down roller coaster ride.
Great stuff, Jeff. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Jeff. See you Sunday.
All right, boys.
Take care. That is our guy, Jeff Joniak. Pre-game again at 4 on News Radio 780 and 105.9 on the FM side.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We are broadcasting live from our studios here in Prudential Tower. It is Friday, November 16th.
Big Friday.
2 days.
It's
a removed.
2 days removed from the Bears' biggest regular season game in a long time.
Yes, that's
at least 6 years. And I think when you look at the stakes and the magnitude and the buzz and the hype all week, it's certainly been exciting, the build up. And I think yesterday at Hallis Hall, different. I think it was the first time we saw first sign of maybe, Matt Nagy getting a little bit fed up with some of the questions surrounding his kicker, which has been taken on a life of its own. That story has grown.
Do you believe he feels it's an irrelevant story? Do you believe? I mean, I think there's a couple of things that we've talked about. The fact that the guy has hit the post four times is so unusual.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that this is a TV show you're leading up to, and of course the interest in the team and all the rest of it, but Matt Nagy wants no part of it.
I think
talking to Taves, I know he had a good night of kicking, which is good. He knows he had a bad day, and he's going to just keep doing what he needs to do to get better.
How much of that do you think helps with confidence, if at all? Was it shaken at all?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know if you guys are understanding this or not, but he has the kid is he has confidence in himself. And as hard as that may be, believe, you know, missing the field goals that he did, I can go back in time and show you some people that have missed some field goals and had some bad days. I'm not going to do that. But this kid is able to rebound back, and that's what we want. So it was an issue for him that day. It was an issue for our team that day. But we're past that. We're worrying about other stuff.
I don't know if you guys are understanding this or not. You know, and that is mild compared to the way a lot of coaches talk. But when you're talking about everybody's friend, yeah, you know, the most genuine guy in town, a guy who has, I mean, really, he's connected in a way that is rare for head coaches to connect in it with a big media market, that passes for I've had enough. It was a flash of impatience, and that's okay. I mean, you understand that, but I also think it reveals to me that this is something that is an issue. This is something that maybe they're concerned about becoming
issue. The guy couldn't kick an extra point late in the game. He had to go for two because he knew the kicker was going to clank one off the goalpost.
And I still think the question I asked Jeff Joniak to me
upright
is fascinating because there is no answer until it happens. It's 4th-and-3. You're at the 35. You're in a tie game. It's 10-10. Let's say it's second quarter. Mm-hmm. A time in the game which isn't considered crucial, but what are you doing if you're Matt Nagy? Does it depend on the time of the game? Do you try a 45-yard field goal?
Well, if you get to overtime, you're not going to settle for a 54-yarder anymore, right?
Probably not.
Yeah, I think that lesson was learned. That's the good news. Look, I think that you put it well when we talked earlier in the program. This is the television show now. You are moving into prime time. You are now the featured TV show on NBC on Sunday night. Everybody watches football all day long, but when you get to the prime time portion of the schedule, that's when you really can draw a lot of people around the country. That's when, hey, Akeem Hicks, you want to make the Pro Bowl? Guess what? It's right here in front of you. You got a national audience. You got everybody looking at you. Go ahead and make the Pro Bowl. If you want to tell everyone that you have arrived, if you want to show off your confidence, hey, feel free to make your field goals. But there are storylines that take place within, you know, they have their creative meeting where they sit there and they talk about the interest in the four kicks that hit an upright.
Bizarre.
It's just so weird. It's good. You know they're going to show it. You know that this is going to be a topic of conversation. One of the good storylines.
It's up for the Bears. It's up to the Bears defense to make it not a storyline. It's up to the Bears offense to make sure that it doesn't come down to a field goal. It's up to everybody to kind of play in a way that reveals to this national television audience that you're the better team overall. And you're the front runner in the NFC because the winner of this game will wake up Monday morning feeling like they are the front runner in the division.
Yeah. Build yourself a good enough lead, Kevbo, that the field goal isn't the game winner. It's just sealing the victory.
Do you guys think if there was a Pro Bowl for update anchors that I'd be one? I'd be a Pro Bowler?
I think, well, let's say this. You haven't hit four uprights this morning yet, so good luck with the last one here.
So we're off to a great start.
I don't know if you guys are understanding this or not.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This week, Mully and Haw got you ready for the Bears' Week 11 matchup against the Vikings with expert analysis from WBBM Bears radio analyst Tom Thayer.
You look at what Kirk Cousins and the quarterback has contributed to the efficiency of this offense. You look at what they have on defense, how they're going to get healthier after this bye week. This is another uphill battle. Yeah, they were able to get over the Detroit hurdle at home, but when you're talking about what's still considered the best team in the division, this is going to be the real test for you.
670 The Score football analyst Greg Gabriel.
Real big game this week. I look at it this way, that if the Bears have any aspirations of winning the NFC North, this is an absolute must win. That if they lose this game, they're looking at potential wild card playoff spot, but no chance at the NFC North. Now, mathematically, that's not the case, but I think they've got to split with Green Bay, split with Minnesota, and beat Detroit twice to have any shot at winning the NFC North.
And Bears defensive end, Akeem Hicks.
Getting flexed is a privilege. Getting flexed means that you're doing something right, man. Getting flexed means that people want to see more of you. That's always a positive for a team. And if you have to shoulder a bit of the burden of having games crunched together, then that's what you got to do. When you get put in the spotlight like that, you got to perform, man. You got to perform, and your team has to perform well, because that gives them that motivation to say, okay, let's televise this nationally again, you know?
Can the first place Bears secure a big division win in prime time? Mully, Haw, and your reaction to Bears-Vikings. Monday morning, starting at 5 a.m.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. It is always fun to talk football, and we do talk to Akeem Hicks on a weekly basis most weeks, and it is his birthday.
Today's his 29th birthday.
29 years old today.
Wow. Happy birthday, Akeem.
Something, huh?
Yeah.
So he's another guy that needs to have a big day for the Bears to do well. I'm just regretful that we didn't wish him a happy birthday
on the air.
Now we have to do it belatedly.
He might get mad at you now that you've snubbed his birthday.
Yeah, it's possible. But I seem to get along with him.
You seem to get along.
No, not everyone does, but
what kind of mood he'll be in next week when we talk to him, because based on what happens Sunday night, he could be in a very good mood. The Bears could be in first place as late in the season as they have been since 2012.
I wonder what kind of a mood he'll be in against Detroit. You heard him say there that it's a great opportunity and it's a privilege to play, and the 85-hour thing is all good and well. I would imagine he's going to be in a bad mood on Thursday morning as he has to get up and play another football game.
Oh, check me out, man.
That's a good thing. You like football players in a bad mood.
Yeah, you do.
You like defensive players in a really bad
mood. You want them to be upset about having to get up early and play. You want them to play angry. You want to play with a little bit of a chip.
We were talking about what the significance of the game, what the Bears need to do. We did our picks. Unfortunately, our panel this morning, five of us said the Bears are going to win, which makes me desperate to change my pick now, because
it does make you feel a little uncomfortable.
It's a mistake to have a uniformity of opinion when a group of us who all work together and talk each other into the same thing.
I think it's hard, though, because you have two teams that I think, relatively speaking, you have one that's underachieving. I think the Vikings come into this game considered underachievers.
They're
5-3-1.
I would agree.
And so you have the Bears, who are overachievers. And I know some people don't like that term.
6-3.
But 6-3, they are overachievers. So when you feel like, which one do you trust more in a situation? You know, there are a lot of advantages for the Bears. They're playing at home. I think their defense, their advantage, their strength, their defensive front creates a bigger advantage over the Vikings' weakness, which is their offensive line, than vice versa. I think the Bears' offensive line will hold its own against the Vikings' defensive front better than the Vikings' offensive line will combat the Bears' pass rush. That, to me, is going to be the difference in this game. And Mitch Trubisky will be efficient. I don't think you're going to come out Monday morning and be saying, oh my gosh, 355 yards passing. I think that they need to just be smart. Take what the defense gives you. Don't try to do too much. Don't get caught up in the moment. Move the chains. Keep the ball. Protect the football more than anything else.
If you're Vic Fangio, who are you concerned about? What is your game
plan? Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
Dalvin Cook, number one, because he's coming back. He's going to be part of this approach. He's the most explosive guy out of the backfield that's difficult to account for, in that he breaks one tackle, he's gone. Now, Stephon Diggs has the same capability, but I think you feel better about your secondary than you do about maybe getting Dalvin Cook in space, which is dangerous. As good as the Bears' defense is, he's the one guy that, they have a lot of weapons, but I think he's the most dangerous to me.
It's funny because Dustin immediately says no, that it's Thielen. And I don't know, Dustin, if you realize this or not, but Adam uh, Adam John Thielen is coming off his worst game of the year. They had the bye week, but he, against the Lions, saw an end to his minimum 100 receiving yard total.
Still had a touchdown, though.
He had four catches for 22 yards with, as you say, the one touchdown, the five-yard touchdown. And you're right, he did have a touchdown. But four catches for 22 yards from a guy who had over 100 in every other game. His worst, his lowest catch total previously was in the season opener, six catches for 102 yards. And now he's kept to four.
He's got 78 catches, 947 yards, and they've played nine games.
But it is interesting that they managed to win a game without him. So I'm with you, David, on the idea that Cook gives them not only a different dimension to their running game, and you're right, he is a home run threat, but also a different dimension to their passing game out of the backfield that they haven't had.
See, I think that with Thielen, you have to have everything go right on a play for it to be a game changer. And I think that when you talk about, you know, the impact he can make downfield, your pass rush can help you kind of limit those chances. With Dalvin Cook, it could be a swing pass in the open field, which is very easy to execute, and then you get him in space, and that's very hard to tackle. He's very difficult to predict, and it just takes one play like that that changes the game, and everything else you want to keep as conventional and predictable as possible if you're the Bears.
You don't want them getting off running the ball because no one has been able to run the ball consistently against you. I mean, there's very few – what was only one opponent has scored a rushing touchdown against you. So you would like to keep that stuff intact.
And running the football.
Secondary's done well. The linebacker core has done well. Stopping the run takes a village.
Yeah, it does take a village. But running the football is more than just handing off and going between the tackles. See, running the football nowadays, I mean, it's the idea of when you run the football, it can be a long handoff, which is a screen pass or a swing pass. That's also kind of considered part of the running game because you're involving a running back is behind the line of scrimmage. You have to, you know, you're not going downfield, and those are not plays that take long to develop. You know, they aren't dropping back trying to keep Khalil Mack away from your quarterback. You can neutralize Khalil Mack and the impact of a pass rush with short passes that are basically the same as handoffs.
I understand that concept, but I think part of the reason that works so well in the league is that because of the rule changes, because of everything that's happened in terms of the last, I don't know, 5 years or so, all the rule changes and all the offensive-minded changes, the safety changes that have occurred, I think what we're seeing is very little kind of fallout from throwing the football. In the old days, the old adage was that running the ball was better than throwing it because only one bad thing could happen. Whereas when you throw the ball, multiple bad things can happen. And now it's not the case anymore because of what you're talking about, controlling the clock. You know, the West Coast offense has been around a long time, and elements of that were taken and stolen from, you know, football is always evolving. But the rule changes has taken the game to a different level where it is more of a 7-on-7 drill, and it is less of an ability to kind of control, to have any repercussions.
You take your shots. You take your shots because they call penalties so close. And I think that you saw last night with the Packers and the Seahawks, too, an example of, sometimes you get, and that's Aaron Rodgers, but you throw the ball up and something good happens. His first touchdown pass was to the third string tight end, and I'm not sure that he really knew who he was throwing to, and maybe couldn't pick out of a lineup. But he figured, okay, you know, either it's going to be, you know, he's going to catch it and it's going to be a touchdown. There's going to be a flag, or it's going to be interference, or okay, batted away or intercepted. Those are, you know, of those three. These days, the way they're calling things with the rules changes, you know, it's worth the risk. Those risks are more worth taking.
Can the Bears, David, can they conventionally run the football? I know that their running statistics aren't there, but, you know, Mitch is running the ball well. When they get a big run, it's usually Mitch running the ball Or it's kind of the whole
This wouldn't be the defense I'd try to prove that point.
But I'm saying it's not like they're lining up. I don't know that they have a power running game. I think we believe they do. I think that everybody says, well, look what Jordan Howard was able to do. But it no longer looks like he's capable of doing it. The interior of the line's capable of blocking it up. They're no longer trying to be a power running team, which is a good thing, really, given how bad it was a year ago. But I think they're trying to run the ball the way you're talking about.
Well, I think because when you lose Kyle Long, and that's where you feel it the most, because the power running game that you speak of, it helps to have a right guard that is as imposing of a physical specimen as exists in the National Football League.
Right.
That guy you could run behind and think, okay, you're going to wear it down. You're going to wear him down. You're going to wear him down. When Brian Witzman is lined up at right guard, you don't have that same feeling.
Yeah.
You don't have that same confidence. And you know what? It's overrated anymore that you have to run the football to win in the NFL. I mean, I think especially when you have a head coach that isn't inclined or hasn't come from that sort of football, doesn't have that kind of football education. He studied in the classroom, and at the front of the room was Professor Andy Reid.
Right.
Okay, that's not a guy that's saying, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. That is, we're going to use long swing passes and extended handoffs and things that
we're going to spread the field.
We're going to spread the
field. We're going to move the defense out, and we're going to take advantage of space.
So no, I don't think the Bears have to try to establish the run against the Vikings. I think if they get a lead, it's a good way to milk the clock. But I no longer believe that this offense with this coaching staff and this scheme has to run the ball effectively to win.
And I don't think they want to. I don't think they.
Well, that's the other thing.
Yeah, I don't think that's part of their DNA. I think they feel like, you know, throwing the ball is a better option.
Brad Biggs has talked several times about his feeling that Matt Nagy gets bored running the football.
I agree with that.
And I think you can see that there's evidence that supports that.
When you have 800 plays, not a lot of them are like kind of a interior run play.
You want to use them. It's like somebody with a walk-in closet, and they just all this wardrobe, all these different variety of shirts and pants and everything you can choose from, shoes. You know, you just, sometimes you're not going to go out in a jeans and a t-shirt.
Sometimes you need a little flair and a little color in your wardrobe, is what you're telling me.
I guess that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you
and
want
Matt
a flashy
Nagy definitely can.
He's
can
got
do
a
that.
Flashy
Mike
wardrobe.
Zimmer, speaking of the variation of your offense, estimated you have 800 plays per game. What's the number? What's the actual number there?
No, it's more like 750.
He's modest, too. This segment was brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Cold and flu season is around the corner, and people with conditions like heart disease, asthma, and cancer are especially at risk. Use the thermometer that you and your family can trust, the Exergen Temporal Scanner. Its accuracy is backed by more than 70 clinical studies, and it's the leading thermometer used in hospitals.
Oh, we've got to get to transition, but let's talk about that for a second. You know, he's joking about 750. Mike Zimmer said that they have like 800 plays. What's really interesting about what they really do, again, they're play callers. If they see something that they like, they adapt it and they move it into their system. But it is the formations they run different plays out of. It's the way that they're not predictable, and because they line up in a certain way, they're going to run a certain thing. And that is an unbelievable advantage that you did not see around here. When you're watching a football game, as we've done together in the past, and people are, you know, if Mike Singletary knows what you're doing, that's something. But if there's guys in the press box, oh, here they go again. They're going to do. That's really bad.
There's not a whole lot of that going on now.
No. I think that's changed.
It's very refreshing.
Dramatically.
To have that sort
to
of.
To use a made up
yeah,
word.
The suspense that's and right. the uncertainty. And you're not quite sure what they're going to do on 3rd and 3.
All right. We're going to do some transition. We'll bring in Dan and Connor and speak with them next. And that's our plan. That's what we've been told to do, and so we're going to do it. And you can't stop us, even if you want to. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.